The Southwest WA Drought Resilience Adoption and Innovation Hub acknowledges the traditional custodians throughout Western Australia and their continuing connection to the land, waters and community. It pays its respects to elders past and present and extends that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Hello, I'm Julianne Hill, Hub Adoption Manager. This podcast series on dry season responses is brought to you by the Southwest WA Drought Hub and funded through Future Drought Fund. In this series, we'll hear from growers and industry experts on managing dry season responses, ranging from early planning to tactical decision making as the season changes throughout the year and setting up for your following season.
Welcome back to the Dry Season Resources podcast. This particular episode, we're going to be talking about sowing and crop establishment. So we're aiming to give all of our growers, all of our listeners, some real-time tips, tricks, rules of thumb, whatever you want to call it, for improving early crop establishment, including things that might not have worked as well in the past and new ideas that are coming through. From the New Ideas Front, I'm joined by Glenn Reithmuller from DPIRD. He is a research scientist sitting in the soils team. And I'm also joined by Stuart Faulkner from Beacon. He is a grower about 10 kilometres from Beacon. Thanks for joining me on the podcast, Glenn and Stu.
Thank you, Sharon. It's great to be here.
Hello, Sharon. Yeah, pleasure to be with you.
Glenn, let's start off with yourself. When we say early crop establishment, what does that actually mean in Western Australia in a current cropping sense? Because I feel like early is just becoming earlier and earlier. So what are we really meaning now?
That's a good question, yes. It depends on where you are in the state, of course. But yes, in the old days, was always, and here at Merrin, was the 21st of May. It was the long-term break of the season. So no one virtually started before then, really. Or if you did, they said, oh, that's really risky because of weed control. But what's changed is we've got herbicides that currently are still working, thank goodness, and we've pushed the envelope. People are going earlier, and then I think the growers are telling us that certainly the earlier the sown crops seem to do better, provided they can get them up and get them to stay alive. So, but wheat is a pretty tough plant. It's really hard to kill once it gets up and away. In fact, a few years ago, Bob French, our colleague here, he did an experiment with looking at droughting wheat, sowed wheat really early and irrigated it, and then left the normal wheat Meriden temperature and humidity to take over. And it was dead. It was flat on the deck, brown as anything. I said, Bob, you've achieved your goal. You've actually killed the wheat. Well, blow me dead, it rained, and a little shoot popped up through the centre of all these dead leaves, and it survived. So I thought, well, what a plant wheat is.
Stuart, how about you guys on the farm? When would you normally start sowing and what would you guys start to classify as early?
A normal start time for us now is mid-April. That's pretty much all systems go now. Sort of 15th to 20th of April, we'll be commencing our program. Probably a soft start, so not a 24-hour operation at that time. But if there's some subsoil moisture, if we've had summer rains or something like that, we'll go in March with an oat crop, and then if it's been a good subsoil, we'll move on to a canola, probably dry sowing on top but with the subsoil underneath. But yeah, we need to have that subsoil moisture to sow that early.
I want to ask you, Stuart, about factors that have led to you sowing earlier. As you've just mentioned, you know, subsoil moisture is a big one, especially if there's been some rain. But I know that sometimes, you know, increasing farm sizes and areas cropped and all those sort of things, there can be a few factors that go into deciding whether or not to sow early and just needing to go earlier. Can you tell us a little bit about your farm setup, just so we have some perspective when we're having this conversation?
Yes. So we're fairly large scale. We plant up to 18,000 hectares now with three machines. So, yeah. Actual timing of sowing is we cannot get everything sown perfectly within the 25th of May window. So, we have to bring some of those crops forward to try and just ensure that we like to be finished sowing by June. So we want to bring those crop plantings forward. We'd sooner start earlier rather than finish later.
And how do you then go about choosing what to sow when? That's a big question. I feel like we probably need an entire podcast just to cover off on that one. But how do you make that decision?
Well, as I said earlier, the subsoil moisture is a big call onto what crops go in early and whether they go in or not. Canola is definitely only planted if we've had some summer rainfall or a big break to the season, like a 50 millimetre or better rain event, and canola will try to always sow into a chemical fallow or a legume stubble purely just to, well, for the nitrogen and for moisture retention. We're in a low rainfall zone, so that's why we choose those. And also we grow quite a number of hectares of oats, and that's because we have the option with the oats. We can grow export hay, we can grow it for fodder, like a standing crop for fodder, because we still run livestock, or grain, or let it go to grain. So, yeah, that crop goes in early, reduce frost risk with oats. So, and we can germinate it from depth, which is what we've been doing more recently.
Glenn, I'm going to move back to yourself, and we're going to talk about seed. You kind of need a good starting point, I guess, to be able to establish some early crops. Are you able to tell us, I guess, what your thoughts are around the best seed to be using, regardless of what the crop is?
Well, of course, quality seed is the crux of any good establishment for crops. And so with canola, we generally use new seed. And also the latest with canola, of course, is the bigger seed, which is generally the hybrids do tend to do better, particularly for depth if you're chasing a bit of moisture. Like Stuart was saying, you've got moisture down deep, you haven't got much of the surface, but you want it to get away, then perhaps the bigger seed of canola can do better. But with the lupins, very similar. The bigger seed with lupins seems to get away better, particularly from depth. Cereals, not quite so bad, but certainly I think there is some evidence that even the bigger seeded cereals do better for the really dry sowing, and particularly if you're chasing moisture at depth. So, but certainly getting the seed nice and clean, no weed seeds in it. I still recommend germination testing. Seen too many cases of people having failures and then find that it traced back to a three-year-old seed that was sitting in a silo at 50 degrees over summer, you know. So quality seed is definitely the way to start a good crop.
How about cultivar choice? I don't know which one of you wants to take this, but from my understanding, if we're sowing earlier, we do need to be picking certain cultivars that can develop and flower a bit more slowly so they can take advantage of that earlier establishment opportunities while still, I guess, targeting the optimal flowering period later in the season. So, Stuart, do you keep different cultivars, different varieties on hand, that way you can plant them early if need be, or how do you manage that?
On the canola side of things, we do have a spread of flowering times or for the canola, but oats, we just tend to stick with one variety. I think oats is quite adaptable, and if it does start to transfer into reproductive phase, we'll just go and stock those paddocks heavily to try and hold them back if we feel that's starting to go too early. And obviously wheat, we have a number of varieties for the seasons, short, mid and long.
Do you have any advice there, Glenn? I know you're a soils guy more so than a variety guy, but you work closely with the other team members. Any tips on variety choice?
I think, like Stuart said, really, it's just always keep those the options for getting your flowering time right for your particular area in the state. So I think there's plenty of information on certainly the DPERT website on that sort of thing as well for all the varieties, all the species rather, canola and lupins and wheat as well. So it's probably just a bit out of my area, but certainly most people do stock more than one variety for the change of the season.
I'm sure DPERT will also like it if we give a little plug right now for the DPERT crop sowing guide that they release every year that has lots of information on all of the different varieties and when they should be sown and can be sown and all the information that you need to know about them. So you're welcome, DPERT.
Yes, it's a great source of information for everything about crops, and it's updated every year. And I think they update it earlier than they used to because they realise that people want to keep their varieties at harvest time, so it comes out early each year. So yes, I use it all the time.
All right, let's talk about something you do know a bit more about, Glenn, soil. You know a lot about it. What can we do to our soil over the course of the season or with our soil to make sure that we're able to make the most of those early establishment opportunities?
Well, the first thing I think is generally we've got to try and keep enough stubble there to stop it getting wind blasted. So there's nothing worse than dry sowing a crop and then it gets up and then you have a wind event and it cuts it all off. So I still recommend we still have standing stubble that we can sow into to protect that young seedling no matter what it is. And canola is particularly sensitive to being cut off with wind erosion. But to get the root down quick, I reckon we still need good loosening below the seed. So the soil strength below the seed, I tend to find it's better if it's loosened below the seed so the root can actually go down quickly. And we want it to go down quickly if you're chasing moisture. We don't want it to sit there and can't go because of hard soil. And I guess, keeping that fertiliser a bit away from the seed. We don't want to burn the fertiliser. The soil, as it dries, the toxicity of the fertiliser gets worse. The soil solution gets more concentrated. So if there's fertiliser in there, it'll be more likely to burn the seed when it's dry. When it's wet, it's all fine. But the dry, if we've got this dry start thing or dry sowing, we don't want to put fertiliser too close to the seed, and particularly nitrogen. But most fertiliser is still salt, so we don't want to have them too close to the seed. And then usually just good seed soil contact. I think the size of the seed determines how well it is. A small seed needs to have the soil sort of pressed onto the seed to get good seed soil contact to get moisture to migrate to it. The bigger seed is a little bit easier, but generally in most seeders now we have press wheels to do that, firm the soil onto the seed. But then I also like now to leave that press surface loose. So after the pressing, to have some loose soil back on top, generally to stop it crusting and also to stop the moisture getting whipped out to the surface. So just straight pressing can actually bring this moisture out faster than if it wasn't pressed, particularly say for lupins. Yeah, so that's about it for the soil's point of view.
Stuart, what of all of those things that Glenn just said do you guys do on the farm? Do you do them consciously? Do you do them just kind of naturally throughout the year? What are you utilising on farm in terms of soils to help with your crop establishment?
It's always site-specific. When we're planting early, we always choose soils that are conducive to dry sowing, early sowing. We stay away from the heavy loams where if you're bashing a machine through them, it comes up cloddy. You're never going to achieve very good seed soil contact in those soil types. We like the sandier loams and even the deeper sands that have been ameliorated are great. But as Glenn said, we do like the underseed cultivation. So we try to run long knife blades on our seeders to allow for that. So there is easy penetration for the roots when they do germinate, and we try to keep the nitrogen fertilizer separated from the seed and tend to run, we've got the option of granular and liquid nitrogen when we are sowing, and we do go to the liquid nitrogen as we feel that we get a better separation and less toxicity with that when we dry sow.
Let's talk about what the paddock, not from a soil perspective, but in general, what the paddock ideally should look like if we're early sowing. Do things like, you know, trying to sow into crops that don't have as many weeds or low levels of, you know, existing root diseases, does any of that play a role in helping with crop establishment?
Yes, absolutely. It's all about site selection, as I said. We make sure that we pick the cleanest paddocks we can. Obviously, new herbicides helps go down the road of a few dirty paddocks, but yeah, still pick the clean paddocks. We've been running controlled traffic for 15 to 20 years now, so we always try to sow edge of row, inter row, and try and have that nice little soft soil that's not having the weed burden that the inter row usually has, and just a nice happy place for the seed to be planted.
A nice, happy place for the seed to be planted. Sounds a bit cute, doesn't it? Trying to give it a nice little home for when you put it into the ground the first time. So, Glenn, from a soils perspective, how much all those factors that you talked about in terms of loosening and all of that sort of stuff, and how much does that play an impact in comparison to having subsoil moisture or some form of break?
Well, like Stuart said, we definitely don't want to go deep working, hard, dry clay, because you're just going to get a really messy seat, get really cloddy, and you'll never get it back. We need a soil that flows really well, particularly for dry sowing. So it's been ameliorated, I suppose, and it's more likely to flow better. One thing there about sowing on the edge that Stuart mentioned, that can help. We've seen cases where rainfall can actually fall into those trenches from past years, right alongside the furrow or right alongside the previous standing stubble, and the rain seems to go in better, whether it's the root system from the previous stubble, but it seems like the plants get away better, whether there's more moisture there or just easier because the roots are there, it's softened the soil on the way down. But definitely people have commented that you get better establishment when you're sowing through the edge or just off the row than perhaps inter-row, where sometimes the inter-row, if you've got a bit of non-wetting soil, it could be dry as, whereas close to the row, it might be a little bit more moisture. I don't know whether Stuart has found that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we're all about chasing moisture wherever we are. And we always find that next to row or in the row is the place to plant because there's always better moisture there. Obviously, we're a little bit concerned about disease some years, but, yeah, we take the hit on that.
We mentioned at the beginning, Stuart, that you have a relatively large program, 18,000 hectares. I think relatively large is a pretty, good way of summing that up. How do you go about managing having such a large program to plant? Seems like hard work, got to say.
Just bite off a big chunk and keep chewing. I guess we've been doing it for some time now, so it's sort of the norm now, so... we do it every year, so hopefully we get better at it each year. Having a good labour force that are well-trained, and preferably skilled, but we can't always guarantee that. And, just make sure we've got good systems in place that everyone knows what they need to do and what our end goal is during the season.
Stuart, can I ask you about your herbicide use? Do you still use the pre-emergence or do you go more post-emergence now?
If we're dry sowing, we'll go still put down a pre-em. Obviously, the better quality herbicides on the market now, we'll still lean on those. We have used a little bit of the post-seeding pre-emergence as well, if it's a dirty paddock. But as I said, we do try to... be paddock selective when we're sowing. So any of those really dirty paddocks, we try to get a knockdown if that opportunity arises.
I was thinking of logistics of a big program that you don't really want to have to go back and forwards a lot if you can. So I guess pre-em's done once and done rather than have to come back all the time. So
we still do a lot of pre-em. Everything gets a pre-em pretty much. So it's just how big a budget you put into each paddock as to what pre-em they get. So, a little bit of, history on the paddock is each and every paddock is treated individually when it comes to herbicide applications. We don't do a blanket across the farm. Every paddock is set up individually.
Glenn, let's chat a little bit more about soil. Mechanical options. Obviously, you mentioned needing to loosen up the soil and all that sort of thing. But in terms of the mechanical options that are there to assist with early crop establishment, what can growers be doing more of?
Well, I suppose predominantly through the state, most growers are using a tine to open the soil, putting the seed in. And generally, there's more seed separating from the fertiliser as well. So there's generally more of those parallelogram arrangement type seeders on the market. But we still have discs for certain soils as well. The softer soils, sometimes discs won't penetrate too well on hard soils. Or if they do, unfortunately, they don't loosen below the soil, a bit below the seed too much. So I'm still a bit of a fan of loosening below the seed. Discs can do that if they have like a wavy culture in front. It's working deeper than where the seed is. So it actually does get some disturbance before the seed goes on top. And they have the advantage, of course, they can handle melon vines and long straw run or whatever, provided that the straw is all actually rolled back down again before the crop emerges. I think the guys that do the rip or strip and then sow into it, most of them prefer to have that stubble all back knocked down again with the seeder so that you're not impeding sunlight to the new seedling. So I think that can be a problem if it's left standing there. The seed will be actually in the shade all day. But as far as the soil strength, though, I'd like to have it down to about 1 megapascal or so, but it's the only way to really do that is to have a controlled traffic system. You've got to keep the heavy traffic off, otherwise you'll never keep soil at 1 megapascal. We generally say 2.5 megapascals is about the limit where roots just say, it's getting too hard for us, unless it's really wet. So, but controlled traffic, I think, is definitely the way to go to keep all that heavy stuff off and let the roots penetrate. And if we do ameliorate the soil, whichever way we do it, at least the roots getting down there will help to keep softening that soil to allow the next lot of roots in. Yeah, but I guess of late there seems to be growers are getting better utilisation from ameliorating deeper than they were in the past. In the old days, we'd just deep rip to 30 centimetres or 1 foot. But now it's more like double that and even more. So it seems like it's to get that root down fast is the key.
I want to turn our attention forwards in the season and I guess try and find out what you guys would think would be the bigger risk, sowing early or sowing late and going past the season. What one of those, how do you weigh up those options against each other and what poses the most risk in a season?
Where we farm, heat stress is the biggest risk. We've been wiped out with frost on a handful of years, but I think we get heat stress every year. So the sooner that crop is established, up and growing, and then into reproductive and filling grain in those cooler months, we feel we've got a much better opportunity of growing higher yielding crops rather than landing later and then they have that heat stress. And yeah, that tends to be where we lose our yield. So that's why we chase earlier sowing and try to get it in and out of the ground as quick as we can.
Makes a lot of sense. And Stuart, how would you then manage that? Let's say if the conditions haven't arise to be able to sow early, are you then happy to say let sow late? Are you going with a dry sowing option? How do you balance up that scenario?
Just due to our scale, we start no matter what, rain, hail or shine, and then we'll get probably 50 or 60% of the way through the program. Still being selective on our soil types and that as we go. If we haven't had good rains by then, well, we actually just start reducing the cropping program. We'll start taking paddocks out of production and they'll go into a chemical fallow.
All right. I think that's everything from me. Is there anything that I haven't asked or that you guys haven't said that you think is important for our listeners to know?
The only thing about the machinery side of things is when we're dry sowing, we do have to look after the old tractor because we don't want to be sucking in dust into the engine. So I'd say definitely cleaning the intake filters fairly often would be a good thing.
Anything from you, Stuart?
Yeah, just I can't reiterate any more than just be very selective on what soil types you choose to sow early. We've had some failures by trying to do heavy clays and it just doesn't work.
Glenn, Stuart, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for inviting us.
Thanks, Shannon. All the best.
Before we do wrap up, just a final note from me that, as always, you can find more information and more resources for dealing with a dry season on the GGA website. That's gga.hub.org.au. You can also subscribe to the newsletter there, which is the best place to keep up to date with the latest as it comes out. And yeah, that can also be found on the website. Thank you for tuning in and have a good week.
Just been listening to the Southwest WA Hub's Limited Dry Season podcast series. For further support for decision making through dry periods, the Drought Hub website features a collection of resources for the livestock, grains, and horticultural industries. You can find them under the Resources tab on the Hub website at hub.gga.org.au.
This episode has been brought to you by the Southwest WA Drought Hub, funded by the Future Drought Fund. If you or someone you know is in crisis, contact Lifeline on 131114.